Lord, add to this blessing to the reading of word. Let's pray together.
Thank you for your word. Open our hearts before it this morning as we hear from you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are faithful forever and ever true. So, Lord, through the faithfulness of your word and your Holy Spirit, speak to us this morning in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you this morning, when you went out to come to get in your car, believed that your car would start and would be faithful to get you here this morning? Anybody have any problems? You're all here because your car was faithful. Yeah, and you trust that when you put your key in the car and turn the ignition, it's going to be faithful. It's not going to let you down, and it's going to get to be or take you where you need to go. And our cars are like that, and we had our old car, our 2017 Camry, for several years, and it has 188,000 miles on it. It's been ever faithful. Every time I put that key in, it starts right up. Well, Thursday, I went to go somewhere, and I put the key in, nothing. Dead. It let me down, and it wasn't faithful, and I thought, man, this car's always been faithful. And it was nothing. At first, I thought it was a starter. I called John Hunter. He come and checked it out, put a voltmeter on, and it was just the battery. He put a battery on it, got it gone, and now we're back again. And that faithfulness of not being let down. Now, when you think of the Apostle Paul, what kind of words come to your mind? You think of someone who's faithful. We've seen, as we've been gone through the book of Acts, a man. You would describe the words of him probably faithful, courageous, bold, fearless, godly, persistent. Would all of you agree that was the Apostle Paul? Pretty much describes the kind of man he was. But yet, he could also be described as fearful, distressed, timid, afraid, and unassured. When you think of the Apostle Paul, do those words come to your mind? Not necessarily. We don't think of him that way as being fearful and bold and unafraid and timid and all of those. But that's exactly where he was when he went into the city of Corinth, where we see him in Acts chapter 18. And he had reason to be timid and fearful and distressed when he entered the city of Corinth. We read by this time it's estimated there were 750,000 people that lived there. It was a very large metropolis city, a center of trade, and also a very pagan city. Many called many false temples there, but it was also a very immoral city. And the center of the city at a 1,900-foot elevation set the big, magnificent temple to the goddess Aphrodite. The goddess Aphrodite was known as the Greek goddess of love. And how was she worshipped? Through engaging in all kinds of sexual promiscuity. And in around the temple of Aphrodite and in the city of Corinth was over 1,000 prostitutes, male and female temple prostitutes who were there to aid people in the worship of Aphrodite. Sexual immorality was rampant through that city. In fact, it was so immoral and decadent that they were known that sexual immorality was called to Corinthicize. And people would say if they're Corinthicizing, meant they were practicing sexual immorality. That's the kind of city it was. So it was known for decadence and immorality, a great city of influence and power. But before Paul had arrived at Corinth, remember what had happened. We had seen on this missionary journey that he wanted to go to Asia, to the east, and the Holy Spirit said, no, you can't go that way. He had forbid him twice. So he had a vision of going to a man in Macedonia and say, come and help us. So he did, and he went to Macedonia and got to Philippi. When he got to Philippi, you remember what happened. He was falsely accused, he was beaten, and he was put in jail. And then he went from there, he went to Thessalonica. In Thessalonica, remember, the riot broke out. He was driven out of town after 3 weeks. And then he arrives at Berea. Again, he was driven out of town there. And he goes to Corinth, and he goes to Athens. We saw him at Athens debating with the philosophers, and he was being ridiculed and belittled by the philosophers of that day who they thought Paul was a fool. And with all of that happening, he now arrives in the city of Corinth alone. Timothy and Sardis were back in Thessalonica, where Paul had sent them to check on the believers there. And Paul arrives in this massive city known for its immorality and paganism all by himself after experiencing all that beating and rejection. Would you be a little timid under those situations? Would you be a little afraid? Would your boldness and assurance be, I wonder if God's with me in this? And that was the situation Paul was as he came into the city of Corinth. But the good news is, even though Paul was timid and afraid and bold, he had a God who remains forever faithful. And in those times, when we feel alone, when we feel forsaken, when we don't feel as courageous or as bold or as assured as we need to be, we have a God who remains ever faithful to us. Amen? In chapter 18, the theme of chapter 18 in the verses that Jim just read, you could sum it up with one word, faithfulness. That the faithfulness of God is seen and displayed. And that's what we see in chapter 18 here, that God reassured Paul in a time when he was feeling timid and afraid of his faithfulness and his goodness to him. And we're going to discover briefly four ways in which God remains ever faithful to us. And we can indeed say, great is his faithfulness. One of my favorite hymns is that hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, based on Lamentations. But his faithfulness is seen, first of all, in his provision. That God is faithful in providing for us. We see as the chapter opens up, Paul left Athens and he went to Corinth by himself. Silas and Timothy are in Thessalonica. He's waiting for them. But he's waiting there, arriving in the city alone after being beaten and rejected and all he's gone through. And he meets two people named Aquila and Priscilla. It wasn't by chance. It was God's design. And it happened to be that they shared the same trade. They were tent makers. They made tents. And even though Paul was a preacher of the gospel, he was trained in making tents as well. And so they became friends and they lived together. And the Lord used Aquila and Priscilla to provide for Paul and provided faithful friendship and support. And Aquila and Priscilla became great friends of Paul. And they provided us friendship in time when he was alone. And aren't you thankful for the God is faithful to provide for you, friends, the church family, people that he brings into your life at just the right moment when you need them. And God is faithful in his provision in doing that. And we see it here in providing the friends that Paul needed and the support that through Aquila and Priscilla, he was able to join with them and making tents to support himself at this point while he was in need. But later on, we're going to see that Timothy arrived from Thessalonica with a gift from the church of Philippi. And then it says in verse 5 that when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching. Why? Because the church of Philippi had sent a gift to Paul at that point. And he didn't have to support himself with preaching, with tent making anymore. He could be supported to preach the gospel. But God was faithful in providing for his needs through friends, through support. And we can trust, and you and I have a God who was faithful in providing everything you need. So why do we need to be timid? Why do we need to be afraid? Why do we need to be unassured? We don't need to be, because in Sunday school we talked about we have precious promises. And we have a God who will care for all that we need and provides in wonderful ways through friendship and through support, through strength and encouragement. In verse 5 it says, when Titus and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul was encouraged. I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And as Paul was writing back to this church in the city of Corinth years later, this is what he said to them. And you'll find 2 Corinthians right after 1, which is after Romans. And this is what he had said to them. In chapter 2, beginning verses 1 through 3. Oh, sorry, 1 Corinthians. Sorry. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. This is what he says. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or with superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony of God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. But he said in verse 3, I came to you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling. So Paul told them, when I came to you, Corinthians, I'd come in fear and in trembling. And it was a time it was hard for him. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul wrote this. Back to the Thessalonians, he said, when I could stand it no longer, we thought it was our best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who was our brother and fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. And you know quite well we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you we'd be persecuted. But he said, for this reason, I could stand it no longer. I was sent to find out about your faith, and I was afraid that some way the tempter might have tempted you. But verse 6, he says, but Timothy has now come to you from us and has brought you good news about your faith and love, and has told me that you have always had pleasant memories of us and how long you to see us as I long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all of our distress and persecution, we are encouraged because of your faith. As he wrote back to the Thessalonians, he said, Timothy came from you, and he brought a good report, and it brought encouragement to me. And so God is faithful in his provision in giving us strength and encouragement, friendship and support, faithfulness in the midst of hardship and persecution. We see here in chapter 18 that as Paul continued in Corinth, he continued to preach, and we're told that the synagogue leader next door to the synagogue, Jewish leader, became a Christian. His name was Crispus, and he became a leader of the faith. And even though Paul was timid and was afraid at this point and facing opposition, God was continued to be faithful in the midst of that. And Crispus became a believer, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14, write that verse down. It says here that some who heard believed and were baptized. And we read in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 14, that Paul had baptized Crispus. We see his name here. And then Sosthenes, also the ruler of the synagogue who was chosen to replace Crispus, also became a believer. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, that Sosthenes was, Paul mentions him, to the church of Corinth. So even in the midst of hardship, God was faithful to him. So God is faithful in his provision. Secondly, we see that God is faithful in his presence. In his presence, because look what he says in verse 9. As Paul was timid and he was dealing with these feelings of fear in the city of Corinth, Paul says, one night the Lord spoke to him in a vision and said, do not be afraid, but keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one is going to attack or harm you because I have many people in this city. And God, through his word, brought assurance of his presence with Paul. And in those times, we can be thankful that when we are afraid, when we are fearful, when we're going through hardship, that God reassures us that he is faithful in his presence and he doesn't leave us in those times. When God spoke to people, you know, one of the most common things he said, the first word that God often said to people whenever he brought a message to them was, if you read the scripture, it's do not be afraid or fear not. Often those were the first words that God would bring to somebody. It's don't be afraid, I am with you. Have peace, know that I'm here, my presence is with you to sustain you in what you're going through. We're going to take a simple, quick trip here. In Abraham, God said that, he can write these verses down. God said to Abraham, don't be afraid. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. To Jacob, he said, don't fear not, don't be afraid. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 3. To Joshua must have needed it several times. God said to him, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, I will be with you. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, 8, verse 1, 10, verse 8, and 11, verse 6. Several times God had to remind Joshua, don't be afraid. My presence is with you. You're going into battle. I know it's a fearful situation, but I am faithful in providing my presence with you. I will not forsake you there. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16, the prophet assured his associate that they were going into battle and they were surrounded. It looks like they were surrounded by and going to be overtaken. And God said, there's more for us than there is against us. And he said, there are those who on our side are far greater, and God's presence is with us. In Psalm 27, verses 1 to 3, where it said, when I am afraid, the psalmist says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. And I had that assurance to know that your presence is with me. Said, what can man do to me? And those psalms of assurance in verse 56, reminding us of God's presence with us always. And in Isaiah 41, verse 10, one of my favorites, where God says, be not dismayed. Don't be dismayed. Don't fear, for I am with you. I will strengthen you and uphold you with my righteous right hand. And we have that promise of the presence and faithful presence of God. So he's faithful in his provision. He's faithful in his presence. And Paul needed that reassurance. He said, don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. I am with you. My presence will not forsake you. And just be comforted with those words of the Lord this morning, that he will never leave us alone. And third, we see his faithfulness is seen, and he is faithful in his purpose. Because God reassured Paul in the city of Corinth when he was dealing with these feelings of fear and timidity and uncertainty. He said, don't be afraid. I am with you. No one is going to attack you and harm you, because I have many people in this city. Have you ever had a time where sometimes you feel like you're the only one who loves God in the situation you're in? And Paul may have felt that way. He was all alone at this point. Timothy and Titus were in Thessalonica. He was in this pagan, immoral city known for its immorality. And he might have felt that he was all alone there. But God said, I'm with you. I'm present. And my purpose is I have many people in this city. Meaning that his purpose was to save. His purpose was to restore. And he was reminding Paul that he was sovereign in his foreknowledge, and that God is sovereign and God knows all things. And he was reminding Paul and giving Paul a little glimpse of something God knows. And that God in eternity past, because he's God and he's sovereign and knows all things, he knows in eternity past who's going to believe and trust in him. We call it his foreknowledge. And yet we don't know that, but he told Paul, in the city of Corinth, I have many people here who are going to believe and are going to trust me. So you stay here, you be faithful, you preach the word. You may not know it, but I know who they are. And they're going to believe and they're going to accept me. And aren't you thankful that God is good in all things and he has a good purpose. And in his sovereignty and foreknowledge, he assures us that I am good, I am working out my good purpose and plan for you, and I will fulfill my will, and I will carry it out. God knew who would believe, and so he encouraged Paul to stay there and preach, and he was going to stay there for a year and a half, which is the longest he'd stayed anywhere at this point. Last Sunday, Gary gave me a book written by Norman Geisler called Chosen But Free. And we've been reading that, and it's a book about balancing the sovereignty of God and the free will of man, and his foreknowledge that God being sovereign but yet knows and has a good purpose and plan, and it's seen in his goodness here and his faithfulness and his purpose to us. So be thankful and trust God that when you're going through times of adversity, when you're going through times you feel alone or fear, know that God is faithful in his purpose of what he's doing in you. That he will complete what he started, that he is good and working out his good in you, and he will bring it to completion. And we can trust him in that. And we can believe him because he will not let us down. He will not fail us. He will keep his promises. Amen. So he is faithful in his purpose to you and his goodness of what he's doing to you, in and through you. And last, he is faithful in his protection. That he promised Paul here. He said, no one is going to harm you. No one is going to hurt you. My hand of protection is going to be on you. No one is going to attack you or harm you because I am with you. God had promised while Paul was in the city of Corinth, protection from harm. Now, God hadn't protected him from harm in other places. There were places where Paul was beat, where he was stoned. We had already seen that. Where he was persecuted and wrong and beaten badly. And there had been times where God hadn't protected him, but here he had promised protection, that he would watch over him. And so he was encouraged by that for a year and a half. God doesn't protect us from all harm and suffering, but he does promise to be with us in it. But in this case, he promised to be with Paul, and that gave him the encouragement to know that he was under the care and protection of God. Paul was distressed and fearful in the city, but the Lord assured him that he would protect him. And he stayed there to preach the gospel. Remember, in Thessalonica, he was only there for a short time, and he had to be driven out. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, the God promises us protection. He said, when we walk through the fire, it will not burn. We walk through the flood, it will not harm us. And in Daniel chapter 3, verses 15 to 18, we have the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were fellow servants of God. And during the time of King Nebuchadnezzar, when he built that idol and said, you must bow down and worship, and they refused. And remember, he had the furnace heated 7 times hotter than it should be. And said, whoever disobeys that command will be thrown into the fire. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, my God is able to protect us from your flames, but even if he doesn't, we still will not bow before you. And our God is a God who protects us and keeps us under his care. Psalm 91 gives us a beautiful verse here, and I love this assurance. Psalm 91 is one of my favorite psalms. And the psalmist, writing about the protection and care of God for us, says this: God is our shelter, and we abide under him. He said, he who dwells under the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge, and his faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence stalks in darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 will fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. We can be thankful that we have a God who is faithful in his protection. It doesn't mean we may be protected from harm or sickness or trials, but it does mean that our soul is protected from evil. It means that we're protected from Satan, and that he can't harm us because God puts his hedge of protection around us. He cannot touch us unless the Lord gives him permission. And we have the protection of God around us, protecting us, keeping us in his care and assurance. And he reminded Paul of that. And Paul kept him safe here. And we saw what happened as Jim read it. There was a riot that broke out, and they took him before Gallio, the magistrate. And they tried to accuse Paul and have him put in prison. And this, they said that it's because of he's teaching things contrary to our law. And Gallio, being a Roman, said, this doesn't concern me. Settle the matter yourself. And he threw him out of court, and God promised to protect him, and he did. And he kept Paul safe, and his hands were there. So be thankful, friends, that we have a God of protection who is ever faithful. You can put your key in the car and trust that it will be faithful and not let you down. But in those times when people or other things let us down and are not faithful, God never will. And he is faithful in his provision to you. He is faithful in his presence. He'll never forsake you. He's faithful in his purpose and what he's doing in your life. And he's faithful in his protection of his hand over you. So when we are afraid, we can trust in him. When we are timid and we need that reassurance, God is right there and does it for us just as he did for Paul. In those times when we feel forsaken or alone, God comes and reminds us, no, I am forever faithful and always with you. And aren't you thankful that's the kind of God we have? Great is his faithfulness. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are ever faithful. That in those times when we feel alone, or we look at the immorality or the things of the culture around us and we feel really discouraged or distressed, as Paul did when he entered in the city of Corinth, and he felt alone in the midst of all of that, You lovingly spoke to him and reminded him that you are ever faithful. That you are faithful in his your provision for him. You brought Aquila and Priscilla into his life. You sent gifts through the churches, an encouragement message of encouragement back through Silas and Timothy. And Lord, you provided that encouragement and strength when he needed it. And we thank you that you do that for us in those times as well, that you provide friends in our life when we need that. You provide the support and you provide for our needs. And Lord, you bring us the strength and encouragement when we need it through others or through your word or even just through your reminder of your presence. And we thank you that you are faithful in your provision for us. We thank you that you're faithful in your presence, that you never, ever forsake us. Even those times when we feel alone, even those times when we feel forsaken, you never forsake us. And you are always there. And you remind us in your word, do not be afraid. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. And we thank you for those reminders that you're always there for us in those times when we don't feel it. Lord, remind us that you are ever present. We thank you that you are faithful in your purpose, that you have many people in this city, that you have many people that come to know you yet, and that you're faithful in your purpose in us, that you will complete what you've started, and what you are doing in our life is good. So remind us, Lord, of that. And remind us, Lord, as well, that you and thank you that you are faithful in your protection of us, that your Holy Spirit is in us. Your hand of hedge of protection is around us, and you keep us in your care. And Satan cannot touch us unless you first give him permission. And we thank you that he can't harm our soul because our soul belongs to you. And we thank you for that assurance and comfort. So Lord, thank you for being ever faithful, ever true, and never let us down and never failing us. That's the kind of God you are, faithful and steadfast and true, because you never change. You are faithful and you are just and you keep your promises and you keep your word. So thank you for reminding us of that this morning, and thank you for showing your faithfulness to Paul, which was an encouragement to him when he needed it in that time in his life. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.